The Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. In our first reading, we hear from the book of Proverbs, which we don't often get to hear from. We hear from the beginning of the book where we get one of the frequent feminine images for God in Scripture. God is likened to a woman who prepares a great feast and then gets up in the high places in the town and cries out to invite everyone to come, especially the stupid ones, especially the ones with no sense. "Come, eat, and I will teach you about wisdom." I sat down and added it up once, and I think I've spent about 25 years having knowledge crammed into my head, going to school from undergraduate to the seminary work, having ancient languages, theology, art, journalism, all that stuff stuck in there. I'd like to think that somewhere along the line, maybe I became a little bit smart. Maybe I know a few things. But as I find myself getting older, and I suspect this happens to a lot of people, I find myself desiring less knowledge and more wisdom. I've spent enough time learning about things. Now I want to learn the truth of things. And one of the hallmarks, I think, of wisdom is you find yourself knowing less and less. I remember in seminary, I may have shared this with you before, but the seminary president once a year would gather the students together and he'd ask them, "What's the most important thing you learned this year?" And I found myself time and again answering that question with, "I learned that I know a lot less than I thought I did." And I think maybe that was the beginning of learning a little bit of wisdom. Isn't it funny how when Jesus comes to the end of his ministry, when he has tried so hard to teach his disciples, to teach anyone who would listen, using all the techniques of the Jewish rabbi, telling stories, parables, putting things in the form of proverbs, every way he could think to teach. When he has no more time left, it all comes down to just love one another. The simplicity of that teaching and the way that it embodies everything else that he tried to say, I think, is the heart of wisdom. Wisdom, I think, comes from developing the long view. And that's why so often I think it comes with age. The more things happen to us, the more we realize that we somehow or other have managed to move through it. When a baby is born, the first and most pressing thing in its agenda is food. Feed me. And the greatest tragedy in that baby's life is that the baby's here and the bottle's on that table. But once the bottle makes it to its mouth, somehow that doesn't seem so important anymore. And life goes on. I remember, and I suspect you can also remember, a few times in the teen years when some girl was just the center of my life and my whole existence rotated around her, and the absolute devastation when she had the arrogance not to love me the same way I loved her. And then you meet someone new. And somehow it's just not so important anymore, and life goes on. And the longer we live, the more moments like that we have. That moment of terror when a teenager, when your son or daughter goes out driving on their own for the first time, out for an evening to meet their friends, and you sit at home in abject terror, and yet they come back, and somehow it's not so important anymore, and life goes on. A job situation, an illness, a family dispute, these things that consume our thoughts and our emotions for a day, for a week, for a year, but then we move on. And life goes on. And eventually, we learn a little bit of wisdom that maybe these things aren't quite as important as we thought they were. We learn that these situations come and go, and somehow all those things that we worried about, we just can't quite remember them anymore. Until we come to the end of our life. Until we come to the one event that we can't practice for and we can't repeat. We come to the one event that we have to undergo by ourselves with no training and with only hope to sustain us. And we look for wisdom as we approach that moment. Of the various gospel writers, John was the last one to write. And so John had the other gospels to look at when he put his together. Plus, he had more time to reflect on just who this Jesus was that he was writing about. And so John's gospel becomes the most theological of the gospels, in that he reflects on not just what Jesus said and did, but who Jesus is. And he begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to describe how the Word, which he then goes on to reveal is Jesus, was there throughout creation such that nothing that was created did not come into being but by Christ's own presence and joy and Word. In the beginning. And then today we hear Jesus likening himself to the bread of heaven. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, and I will raise you up on the last day. At the end, I will be there as well. Wisdom sets her feast and invites everyone that doesn't have a lick of sense to come and eat with her and learn what life is. Now Jesus comes and sets his feast and once again says, come, eat with me and eat me, such that you will be with me and I will be in you. My life will be yours. And all of a sudden, we get the ultimate long view. Because with Christ in us and us in Christ, we are there at the beginning and we are there at the end. And what we discover is that this life that we live with all of its myriad of dramas and tragedies is only one small breath in the life of eternity. Our world is what, some 5 billion years old? The universe, something like, I don't know, 50, 500 billions of years, I don't know, something like that. And yet we continue to think that in this 80, 90, 100 years that we are the most important thing and that what we go through is of cosmic importance. And yet, with the long view of wisdom, we see that all of this is just part of this fullness of life that Jesus speaks about. All of this is relativized by the eternal life that Christ invites us to be part of. He keeps coming back to that imagery of feasting, of nourishment, of the life that we share together when we eat together. And so again, at the end of time, he paints the image of that great messianic feast filled with fat things, filled with good eating and rich wine. Raises it up as perhaps the best image he can think of to describe this beautiful richness of life, which is ours not just then, but now. Now in that long view. Because life indeed does go on. Not just to the end of our 80, 90, 100 days, but for all time in Christ. Amen.